We've been taking an in-depth look this week at sexting and revenge porn, and the evidence suggests that as many as one in five people have experienced what's called image-based abuse. But the full scale of the problem is impossible to gauge. That's because so many revenge porn events happen in secret or in the darkest corners of the internet, protected by software that makes the perpetrators untraceable. So how do you know if it's happened to you? And if it has, what can be done? Today, we speak to the people on the front lines of responding to and investigating these crimes. Here's our reporter, Angela Lavoie-Pierre.
As if it's not bad enough being a victim of revenge porn, finding out can be a battle in its own right.
One of the first things that I encourage people to do is to use Google Images reverse search. You know, if you have a picture, you put it out there, you start searching for it. It'll come back with similar images, and then they'll tell you where those images are located, which websites.
Brian Frankie is a detective who specializes in tracking the sometimes scant trail of evidence online. He's a police detective in a cybercrimes unit in the US state of Colorado. Detective Frankie also trains other law enforcement agencies in how to investigate.
There's a lot of difficulties that we encounter just because the internet is obviously worldwide, and yet the laws are struggling to catch up with that. And so that creates some issues when you're trying to get additional evidence or supporting evidence from other countries.
Australian surveys reveal one in five people have been a victim of some sort of revenge porn. But researchers are convinced the real figure may be much higher because lots of people don't realise their image has been taken or shared. Part of the problem is that sharing images has never been easier. Claire Riley is the senior editor at CNET, a tech news website.
We have a rise of apps that are designed for end-to-end encryption to make sure that your message can be sent without being able to be intercepted. Certain apps pride themselves on making sure that your message gets from point A to point B and no one else can see it.
She says a lot of the technology that's fueled that boom was designed for a different purpose, to evade government surveillance.
It makes sense that people are kind of calling back to saying, well, I want a bit of privacy and I don't want to be tracked everywhere online by advertisers or by potentially other people.
The same reasons those apps are ideal for sexting also make it hard to investigate once consent is withdrawn and a crime has been committed.
It can be the case that encrypted messaging apps, you know, on the one hand, are great for protecting privacy, on the other hand, are incredibly worrying because they can protect the so-called privacy of perpetrators and sexual abusers.
The majority of what we call revenge porn, that's the taking, sharing or threatening to share nude or semi-nude images without the person's consent, happens mostly via text, on social media or in email, in traceable ways. But a small number of cases, some of the nastiest ones, happen on purpose-built revenge porn websites. They're often designed to extort money from their subjects, and most are on the dark web. That's a part of the internet protected by software which makes activity there largely untraceable. Brian Frankie has had some extraordinary conversations with the people that run those websites.
It's extremely difficult to make contact on a one-by-one basis with these individual people that are responsible for these sites, and a lot of them end up being outside of the United States, so that limits our ability to do anything with it, really, to a certain degree. And a lot of times the response that is given back is that, well, that isn't the intent of our site, and we can't control what people put and post on the site.
Is that seriously the response?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. And, you know, I mean, on some level, you can kind of get it if it's a really huge site and there's millions of images. But then you have to look at things like, well, what's the name of the site? And what's, you know, just by the name of the site, it can sometimes indicate pretty clearly what the purpose was.
He's realistic about the limits of what investigators can do for those victims.
There's absolutely cases where you're never going to get any kind of justice just because of certain technology that's out there and how some of that functions. There's obstacles that are just impossible to overcome.
In Australia, Victoria was one of the first states to introduce specific laws targeting revenge porn in 2015. Senior Sergeant Brett Meadows investigates those crimes for Victoria Police. He's more optimistic in his view of the hardest cases.
I'm not going to say it's impossible. It's difficult at times, but As much as technology is moving so fast, law enforcement's always one step behind. We are still working at coming up with ways that we can track these images. I mean, images have their own footprint or fingerprint, as they call it. We can find out where it's been and where it's come from, how many times it's been sent. We can do checks on phones and computers, and we can see certain items and look at them and find all these things. Yes, it's difficult, but it can still be done.
But he admits that many websites simply don't cooperate.
I know we've had some recent stuff with Facebook that's been a big positive in Australia, that they will work with us when images are posted on Facebook that we find are against the law. The problem we have is some of the smaller ones that are set up over in some of the Eastern Bloc countries where we don't have the laws in place, or we don't have those communications with those companies.
And even in cases that aren't protected by encryption software, tracking the journey of an image and proving guilt is very difficult.
Generally, if they've sent anything, it's either via a phone, so you'll have a phone number, or via an email, so you've got that email address. And there are a number of things we can do with those two things. But having said that, this lady or person is saying, I sent these images or videos to this person consensually. We've then got to find where they've then on-sent them, if they have. It gets a little difficult, but it can be done.
Senior Sergeant Brett Meadows from Victoria Police, Angela Lavoie-Pierre, our reporter. Join us tomorrow for more of her series.